So God, I just pray this morning, Father, that we'd have ears to hear, myself included, what you want to say this morning. And Lord God, that through your Spirit, Lord God, you'd equip us to make any changes or do anything with our lives that we need to, God. Because whatever you ask is always too big to do. But with your Spirit, all things are possible. Amen. So usually if I'm on this preaching road, I know it's coming up and I have an idea, like I'm ruminating a concept. But this week, absolutely blank slate, had no idea. So I sat in my garden, makes it sound like I live on acres, in my little small foot, like tiny little terrace garden in Charleston. And I was like, Lord, what do you want to say? You know who's going to be there. You know, your word never comes back void, but I want you to give a rhema word, and that means like a now living word that people need for today. And I just sat there and I just really felt him impress on me to speak about the lies we tell ourselves. Okay. Now I know, I don't know about you, like, but when I first became a Christian, I was full of lies. I thought I could never be forgiven. I thought I was too messed up. I thought I didn't deserve to have a stable family. I thought no one would love me if they knew how broken I was. I thought, even in that brokenness, I still wanted to do it in my own vein, so I thought I didn't really need God. So they were all lies that I had told myself. Now, over time, and through hearing the gospel and reading the Bible, I've learned that none of those things are true. And if they're not true for me, then they're not true for you either. That God sees us in our brokenness and who we are, and still loves us. Amen. He doesn't say we're not broken. Okay, so we're not okay. We need him. Nothing that I ever did, said, or would do was too big for his love and his forgiveness to cover. Yeah. And even the self-sufficiency. I knew I was messed up, but I wasn't willing to surrender it and lay it down and admit I needed God, because like, I'm quite self-sufficient. I like to handle things myself. I like to fix things. I like to mess things up, but then I like to fix it myself. And I really had to learn to lay down my way and my way of doing things and admit that I needed his help. And there are things that I've learned. But also something I thought, grand, I'll learn all these lessons and then I'll get to a point in my walk with God where I'll be sorted. But what I figured out, that's actually Buddhism, not Christianity. Buddhism, you become enlightened and you eventually reach the peak and you know it all and you're amazing. And you're like, you're just... The house could be falling apart, the kids are killing each other, I want to strangle Andy, but I'm just like, home. But I'm not a Buddhist, I'm a Christian.
Amen.
And the reality is, I still lie to myself now. The lie may have changed, but I still, God is constantly revealing that I need him. And there's always something to work on, which can be exhausting. Because I want to just be done. Do you know what I mean? I want to reach it and be like, oh, that's fine. It's done. It's like a house. If you live in a family, if it's clean for a day, and then it's messy again. And it's that cycle. Clean, mess up, clean. And it's exhausting. But he has promised to leave us a helper in the Holy Spirit, that we can't do it in our own strength. But through him, all things are possible. With his Spirit, he will not call you to do something that he will not give you the ability and the help, the people, the Spirit of God, the power, the strength, everything that you need to do something, he will give it to you. So what I'm going to talk about today is the lies we tell ourselves, right? We're going to look at four lies. Now, I'm going to take the pressure off you guys and say, these are just lies I told myself. You guys are not like me. You don't have any of these issues. But there's a theory behind it that even in our life, we're learning that every lie that comes in or every thought in our head is not always true. And let's teach ourselves to come back to the Word of God and believe what God says about us. Because that is the only thing that can be trusted. That is the only thing that is unchanging. His character doesn't change. Every other person, as much as I love my children, I'm going to let them down. As much as I love my friends, my family, my husband, I'm going to make mistakes and let them down. God is the only person who won't.
Amen.
So we're going to change our eyes from what we think, we feel, to what God says and his unwavering character. Because then when a new light comes up in your life, you'll know what to do. I'm going to bring it to the Bible. I'm going to bring it and check, is this real? Is this a fact or is this a feeling? So a lot of time, it's not even the devil that tells us lies. If you look in the Bible, you know David and he was on the rooftop and he's seen and he lusted after a woman and then it said a whole thing in advance. So it's in there when he was the king. It wasn't actually the devil that tempted him, it was himself. He made the choice to go out on the balcony. He made the choice to look at the naked lady having a bath. He then made a choice to summon her and commit adultery with her. And he then made the choice to cover up his sin and to kill her husband. Now, a bit of a that's a bit like, you know, Hollywood lies. But it started with one poor decision. And we can always be like, oh, wasn't me, the devil's tempting me. And he does. It's a very real power in the world. But sometimes it's us. The lies can be subtle, they can be hidden, it can seem, it seems to be just a part of us being human. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Bit oblique, but we need to be honest and say, I can't really be trusted, even as a Christian for 20 something years. My heart is deceitful. I need to bring everything towards the Lord. So why do we look at God's word and his character? Luke 1:37 says, no word from God will ever fail. John 1:1-5 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. That life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. God's truth, God's fact, not feeling, cannot be changed, will never fail you. That is what we put our trust in. So we're going to look at four lies. And then we're going to see, what does God say about it? And we're going to replace feeling with fact, okay? The reason we do this is because perception is really powerful. If you speak to a lot of people, so I work in a regular job, or a majority of, a huge side of my family are not believers. And so if you ask them, what do you know about God? They will tell you, he is like angry, he is full of wrath, he judges people, he wants people to live the way he wants to live, and if he does it, he like smites them fire and brimstone. And the fact is, I looked up some stats, and the stats of it in the Bible are that God's wrath and anger are talked about, okay, but they're talked about roughly about 600 times, depending on which version of the Bible you're reading. But if we did a census of people in Ireland, most of them would say that God is an angry and bitter God. That's what they know of Christianity. But the fact is that in the Bible, God's love, mercy, and kindness is actually mentioned 1,798 times. That's a fact. Okay? But the perception is that he's an angry God, not a loving God, even though he talks about his love, his mercy, and kindness more than, over double than he does about his judgment. Now, there will be a judgment, okay? I'm not going to just be a fluffy, God is not just one type, he's not just love, do what you want, and he'll just forgive you and everything be grand. Okay, he is angry against disobedience, not against him, because all he wants is for you to be healthy and whole and restored. So if he says don't do something, it's because he wants the best for you. And he's angry at lies. And when you see Jesus' character, he goes to the temple and he's angry at the religious people. He's not angry at the people who don't know him. He's angry at the people who know him and misrepresent him. But the majority of the time, he's drawing people to himself with his love, his kindness, and his mercy. And that's a fact, not a feeling. So let's look at the first lie. As I said, you guys never felt like this. This is just me in my failures, okay? I am not good enough. Now, you might not say those words, okay? You might be like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But if you were honest with yourself, when you lay your head down on your pillow at night, I call it like the real you. There's no makeup. The hair's all over the place. You've got the mess from the day all over you, and you're lying in bed. And if you aren't exhausted and you have those few minutes before you pass out of sleep and you're left alone with your thoughts, do you feel, do you believe that you are good enough to be loved, to be accepted, to have a calling, to succeed in life? Our childhood and who we are shaped by a lot of things, and sometimes we take that stuff on. You may have had a critical parent, or you may have been rejected in a situation, or you may have had none of that. Maybe it is the devil. Maybe the devil has put that lie. You've had a perfectly wonderful life, but you still have that doubt in your head that you're not good enough. So is that a feeling or is that a fact? The Bible says that you aren't actually enough. I'm sorry. You probably wanted me to go the other way and be like, you are. You're an amazing girl. You go, girl. Unfortunately, you're not. None of us are. For all have sinned and fall short. So all have sinned in Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So to quote High School Musical, we're all in this together. Okay? None of us are good enough. Mankind is broken. The verse I read in Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful. We have all sinned. We are all in need of a living, breathing God to send his son to die for us. The chapter, see Romans chapter 3, the chapter title, if you look it up, is called God's Faithfulness. The point is that it's all about who God is and not about who you are. Because if I give you positive affirmation, which has power, okay, you are amazing or good, they can restore you for a moment or for a week or for a day or a month or maybe even a year. But eventually you are going to fail. I'm sorry to break the news to you. It's very humbling for me who always thinks she's right. But you're going to drop the ball and then you're back to square one. But if we say change our focus to God's faithfulness, that even in my failures, my God is faithful to restore me. So let's read chapter. So I always discourage people from reading one verse and just picking a verse out. A verse is set in a chapter and the chapter has a purpose for being written. So I'm going to read for you chapter 3. We're going to read 21 to 30. I'm going to and just let it sit with you, okay? Now, apart from the law, which is you do good, God will be nice to you. You do bad, you'll get punished. Apart from the law, the righteousness of God has made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. Basically, the old way was do good, God will help you, fall apart, you're gone. The righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ now to all who believe. There is no difference between a Jew or a Gentile, a holy person and an unholy person. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by the grace through the redemption that came through one person, Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as the sacrifice for atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith, which is a belief in Jesus. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness in this present time, so that just as one who is justified through Christ, through faith in Jesus. Where then is our boasting? Who can say they're good enough? It is excluded. The law that requires works doesn't exist anymore because the law has been changed through faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from works. Or is God the God of only the Jews, which is the holy people, doing the right thing, following the right laws? No, he is now the God of the Gentiles. Since there is only one God who will justify by faith the circumcised and the uncircumcised. Do we nullify the law? No, not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. So the point of it is, the old way of you trying to keep all the regulations is gone. You'll never be good enough. But now, through Christ, what he did, you can be good enough. Amen?
Amen.
Now that's just one. So when you fail, humbling moment, which you will, it's not that, oh, that's grand, it doesn't matter. It's more that, okay, God, I need you again, Jesus. I need you today. I'll need you in 10 more minutes. And it's a real, it's like cleaning the house, like it just wrecks your head because you have to do it again. It's like so tiring. But if we were just made right and perfect, we'd go on with our merry way without realizing that we need God. Because let's be honest, when the crisis is over, don't we forget God?
Yeah.
When you're not broken anymore and you're healed. Oh yeah, God, but then